If it's working, I just whispered over and hollered at him. I said, "Hey, brother, it's working." Hallelujah. I'm liking this. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I tell you what, on your way to 1 Samuel, why don't you pick up Genesis chapter 22 and then find 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I'm going to preach to you tonight a teenage message, but on an adult level. I'm going to preach to you something tonight that I have rarely, and I'm not sure if ever, have I ever heard the subject preached to adults. But I've heard it in every way, shape, and form across America preached to teenagers. Now, we got rid of them tonight. And it's just us. But I want to show you something tonight that I think would be beneficial. It may be the very key to unlock the chains that have you bound. It may be the very key that's keeping that prayer from being answered, that burden from being lifted, or that load from being lightened. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Some of you know where I'm going. 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 22. Are y'all there? Say amen.
Amen.
And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Stop right there and look up here. He said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" As adults, we feel like that is our arena of ministry. Our job is to give. Our job is to support the work. Our job is to make the sacrifices that the children may have a future. Am I right about it? We kind of leave that teenage mentality role, especially when that wife or that husband comes along, and then that first child. And our life goes from a role of being an obedient child to a sacrificial adult. Most of us in this room would do without to see to it that our children have. Amen? Amen? I included. Now let's look at it again. He said, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings?" I thought I was better. "And sacrifices as in," say the word with me,
obeying
the voice of the Lord. He said, "Behold, to what?"
Obey.
To obey is better than what?
Sacrifice.
Than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In verse 23, I'll just read the first part of that verse. He said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Wow. What is rebellion? Rebellion is when we go against doing what we know is right. We talk about, I grew up, or I finished up, or almost finished up, I'll get it straight in a minute. I went to a Christian school, let me put it that way. Jay Bice was my principal, and I had several different other teachers, and I remember one word that sticks out in my mind from being in a Christian school. Anybody know what that word was? Anybody that went to Christian school can tell me. Rebellion. Maybe you weren't as bad a kid as I was. But I heard that word rebellious over and over and over. You know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Let me tell you something. I want to talk to you about this subject tonight of obedience. And it's not just a subject for teenagers, but it's a subject for adults also. Would you agree with me? It's not just for kids. Do you ever tell your children not to do something that you do? What got quiet? Don't watch what we watch. Don't listen to what we listen to. Don't go where we go and smoke what we smoke. Are you listening? And if they do, then they are being what? Disobedient or rebellious. What are we being? Disobedient and rebellious. I've been a rebellious parent and a disobedient parent, haven't you? Amen. But we always shoot that thing at the kids time and time and time and time again, and 9 times out of 10, the kids are better than we are.
Amen.
Are you listening? Well, it got quiet on me. Spiritually speaking, there's a few teenagers I would put up against most or the average Christian adult. They haven't seen what you've seen as a Christian. They haven't been where you've been as a Christian. Are we all right? I want to talk to you on this subject just for a few minutes tonight. Does it pay to obey? Or does it cost to disobey? Does it pay to obey? Genesis chapter number 22. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and you know it because I've preached from it I don't know how many times. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We know in Genesis 22 and verse number 1, God told Abraham to take now his son, his only son, whom he loveth, take him to a mountain that I'll tell thee of and offer him there for a burnt offering. His only son, take him up on the mountain and offer him for a burnt offering. Abraham never questioned God. Have you ever made that note in your Bible? No question mark there. Are you sure, God? Let me lay out a fleece. Let me pray about it. Let's test the waters. Let's make sure. No. He got the jackasses together. He got his servants together. He got his boy and the wood and the fire, and yonder they went.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? Because God said to.
Yeah. Amen.
How many times have you ever looked at your children and said, because I said so? And whether you agree with my style of child rearing or not, because I said so is good enough. I don't owe my children an explanation of everything, because if I tried to understand why I said no, they wouldn't understand anyway. So if that applies to our children when we tell them no and they say, why? And we say, because I said so, that's why. Because I'm your father, and that's good enough.
Amen.
Then why can't that mentality carry over to our relationship as a child with our Father, Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Can't we just take Him at His word because I said so and believe that He knows what He's talking about?
Yes.
How many times have you questioned Him? More than not, I imagine. I've questioned Him over every great move He's made in my life. One of my favorite words growing up was why. Still is today, why? He told him to go, so he went. Let's pick up around verse number 11. Abraham in verse number 10 has already stretched forth his hand and he's got the knife and he's fixing to kill his son, just like God said. In verse number 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Wonder why he had to holler twice. Because he was bent on doing what God said to do. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Watch this, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now make a note right here in your Bible. God never wanted Isaac to begin with. He just needed to know he had Abraham. It wasn't Isaac's blood that he desired. It was more of Abraham's heart that he desired.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
And when we think sometimes that God is afflicting and bruising our lives, it's not that he's trying to punish us. It's that he wants to put us through some paces or some tests or some trials because he's trying to get more of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where did I quit? Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. Watch this statement, in the stead of his son. I'm glad there was a replacement, ain't you? And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it has been said to this day, in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now watch this last statement. Because thou hast what? Obeyed my voice. He said, in blessing, I'm going to bless you. Now, it's one thing for me to bless you. It'd be one thing for you to go to Rome and go down to Vatican City and have the Pope do a little number on you, you know, and that might give you a little fluffy feeling. But when God said, in blessing, I will bless you.
Yeah.
Woo! Now, you can count on being blessed right there.
Amen.
He said, in blessing, I'm going to bless you. He told him he had cursed them that cursed him. He said, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the seashore. He said, and not even that, I'm going to bless every nation because you obeyed my voice. Now let me ask you a question. Does it pay to obey? Amen. I would say probably so. Amen. God commended Abraham in the spiritual realm for his obedience. He said, by myself have I sworn. You know what he said? You know what we do? We say, I promise, I swear to you. I don't do that anymore, but when we was a kid, somebody accused of a lie. I swear in Jesus' name. Or I swear on a stack of Bibles. You know that's what the Lord was saying? Except he didn't have to say in Jesus' name. He said, by my name. I swear on my name. Son. He must have thought a lot of Abraham's act of obedience. Would you agree with that? It's always best to obey God. You can't go wrong just doing what he said do. Amen? We're going to look at these verses tonight, and I want to show you how it pays just to simply obey. And we look at obeying God as just the great big things in life. But it's not just the great big things. It's not just the call to preach or the call to the mission field. Amen. It's not just that. It's the little things. The giving of ourselves, the loving of others as we love ourselves. Amen. It's the being faithful. Just doing what we can do. It's being kind and tender-hearted. It's being long-suffering. Are you with me? I get on that sweet lovey-dovey stuff. Y'all seem to get uncomfortable. That's what he told us to do. Did he not? He said, loving your neighbors, you love yourself. He said that was Satan's second great commandment. He said the first was love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your spirit, all your soul. He said the second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen. That's not something we should just try to do. That's something we should do. Why? Because he said to. He said, love your enemies. That stinks, don't it? I don't like it. I'd rather slap their jaws. Amen. Oh, heifer shoots you a bird on the highway, I'd like to run them off in a ditch. I'm just being honest. But what Jesus said is I got to go, I love you. I've never done that. I usually make a face at them or something. Amen. I want to show you how it pays to obey God. And I may preach another message on how it costs to disobey God. Some of us, sadly, are paying instead of being paid. Some of us are suffering instead of shouting. Because when God said go, we stayed. When He said stand, we see it. When He said open your mouth, we closed it. When He said give me more of you, we took some away. Guilty, but it does pay to obey the Lord. I want to show you three things tonight, three areas of our lives where it pays just to obey God. It pays, number one, with the right provision. It pays with the right provision. Look up here just a second. God knows what you need. Do you understand that? That don't mean you should stop telling Him, but God knows exactly what you need. Did you know this Bible teaches us that if we will be obedient children, He will provide what we need? Do you understand that? We do not reward our children, me, Levi, Ashley, and Katie, we do not reward them for disobedience. We reward them for obedience. When they were little, we gave them money for a good report card. We gave them a whooping for a bad one. Come on, talk to me. We love rewarding our children. We see the effort that they put forth to please mom and dad. So naturally, we want to be a blessing to them. Do you think the Lord Jesus is any different with us? He sees the effort that we're putting forth. And maybe your effort is something that I can't even see, but God sees it. And He knows your heart, and He knows how hard you're struggling. Some of you are struggling more because some of you had a worse past than others. Amen. And we just look at you like you're not up to par yet and you ain't where you ought to be. But God knows how hard you're trying. Amen. And if you'll just keep doing your best to obey Him, He will reward you with the right provision. When somebody obeys God, no matter what the given situation involves, God always makes the right provision. Let me say that God always supplies the right type of provision. Are you with me? He supplies the right type of provision or the right kind. With Isaac on the altar and the knife in Abraham's hand, the need is great, wouldn't you say? I don't mean he's thinking about drawing back. Brother Freddie, he's drawn back. He's done raised his hand. His son is bound on the altar. Pretty obedient kid too. I don't read where he struggled against it. Amen. I don't read where Jesus struggled against the cross either. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he didn't open his mouth. I don't think Isaac did either. Amen. 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 Why was he so obedient? Because his daddy was. Let that soak in just a minute. Why was Isaac such an obedient son? Because his father was an obedient father. Yes. With Isaac on the altar and the knife in Abraham's hand, I would say he had a great need. And I'm sure everybody could jump in and give an idea or make some suggestions for him. Like he needs more courage. Or maybe he needs more faith. How quick are we to judge somebody's faith when they're going through trials in their life. We might even say, well, he just needs a little more time. God knew exactly what he needed. Amen. God knew Abraham's basic need was a substitute for Isaac. What he need wasn't more faith. He done exemplified his faith. The knife is drawn. He never questioned God. He's got the faith, brother and sister. He's got the faith. There's no question this man's faith. What he needs is a substitute. What he needs is a body double for Isaac. Stand in. A stunt man. Cut. Let's bring in the idiot with no brains to take his punishment. You getting the picture? Thus a ram was caught in the thicket by his horns in verse 22. God knows the type of provision you need. I don't know what your present need is, but I promise you, if you need a ram and if you're living a life of obedience, God's not going to send you a dog or a cat. If you're being obedient to God and a ram is what you need, a ram is what you shall get. God knows the very type of provision you need. Amen. I hope you'll agree with that tonight. He won't even send something similar to what you need, or something that'll work till the right thing comes along. He'll provide exactly what you need, the right type or kind of provision. And he'll supply that right type of provision in the right territory. God knows the place where the provision is needed. God did not send the ram to another mountain. It would have done Abraham no good. It didn't get caught in the wrong thicket. It would have done Abraham no good. Listen, God not only knows the type of the provision you need, He knows the territory where you need it. Stay with me tonight. What if Abraham had been disobedient and went to the wrong mountain? Well, Isaac, I don't know about you, but I know that's Moriah over there. But how about this mountain over here? It's got prettier trees. I like the music better over there. That preacher over there don't preach on sin. They've got a Bible and songs over there that are less offensive and don't talk about the blood. Let's go to that mountain. Only one problem. The provision's coming up this other one. I've always had the picture in my mind while Abraham and Isaac are laboriously going up this mountain, climbing this mountain with the wood and the fire and everything for the sacrifice. I believe the whole time they're coming up this side, this little old Billy Goat's coming up the other side. He ain't got the foggiest idea why. He ain't got the idea where he's going. He don't know why, but he feels compelled to stick his horns in them bushes. He don't know why he got hung. He just knows he got hung. It was ordained of God that he be that. God knew exactly where to provide the provision. I don't know how many times I've seen people get caught up in a situation and feel that they need to be somewhere else to have their needs met. If God puts you here, He knows where here is. God told His prophet, get thee to the brook Cherith. Why? Because that's where I told the ravens to bring you bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening. In other words, God has a designated place or territory to dump out the blessing. Our responsibility is to be obedient and be at the right place. I don't know how many times I've missed God's provision in my life because I was in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. Think about it seriously tonight. Wonder how much you've missed because you wasn't where you were supposed to be. I don't know how many times in a sermon I say things that I never even think about till I'm behind this pulpit. Brother Freddie, Brother Charles, these preachers know exactly what I'm talking about. It'll come out of your mouth and you'll go, "Whoo, thank you, Lord." Amen. Just a revelation from God on the spot. Amen. And the service will get over and I'll get to thinking, was so-and-so there? I know that was meant for them.
Yeah. Amen.
No, they were not. You ever imagine there was a message that was meant to change your life and you missed it because you were not where you were supposed to be when God provided the provision? I reckon we'd all have to say guilty on that. Amen?
Amen.
If God told you to go where you are, He won't forget. He knows exactly where you are. Not only does God know the right type of the provision you need and the right territory that He needs to bring it to, but God knows the right time to bring it in. God's timing is more important than you and I could ever think. Brother Freddie mentioned some things last Wednesday night, and I will reiterate every word that came out of his mouth. He ran by me first. And it's okay for you to know that your preacher ain't perfect. My motives were right. My heart was right. My vision, my drive, my zeal was right. Timing was off. Are we okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever got ahead of God?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on, just jump just a little bit too quick.
Yes, sir.
I'm one of these. Just let's go, let's go, let's go. Don't think about it. We ain't got time to organize. Ain't got time. Let's just do it. Hey, I'm a Nike Christian. Amen. Let's just do it. I'd jump in a fire, man, if some of these guys wasn't around to hold me back and say, "Whoa, preacher, hang on. Where are we going to get the money?" Amen.
Amen.
But God knows the right time. Listen, I want to show you tonight why timing is important. I think it's significant that the ram wasn't seen until Abraham was ready to slay his son.
Amen.
Let me say that again. I think it means something pretty deep here that he did not see the ram before he bound his son on the altar. Stay with me. Had Abraham seen the ram before, he may have never tied Isaac and laid him on that altar. God's timing is always right, people. The ram was not discovered too early or too late. God is never too early and God is never too late.
Amen.
Had he been too early, listen man, had he been too early, Abraham may have come short of obedience. And if he had been too late, we may be tempted above what we are able to stand. If God had not stepped in when he did, there would be no nation of Israel. Because Abraham would have cut him in pieces.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's good, sir.
God's never too late. Have you ever felt like God was late?
Yes, sir.
Time and time again. But as we read through the Scripture, we find that He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. He ain't never been late for an appointment. He always shows up when the timing is right. We get anxious. We get anxious and we want to push the issue. We think we're ready when we're not. We want to go when He says, set still. We want to get aggravated with Him because He hadn't moved in accordance with our plan. But we got to understand that God's timing is way better than mine or yours. Amen. Just what Abraham needed, just where Abraham needed it, and just when Abraham needed it, God supplied the right provision. What did He supply? What He needed. What did He supply? Where He needed it. What was the timing? When He needed it. You say, but preacher, I need. Sometimes I think we need more than we think we need. Amen. Who knows what God has waiting if we'll just be obedient. Not only do we see the right provision, but because of Abraham's obedience, we see the promises reaffirmed. God had made Abraham some promises in the past. He reiterates them in this story. Those previously given promises are probably now looking pretty dismal. God told him how He is going to multiply his seed way back yonder. Years before that boy was ever even born. And now everything that God had promised through that boy, God is fixing to ask him to murder. I wonder, in those situations, do we begin to doubt what God said? But through the obedience, God reaffirmed and made real in his life a renewed sense of the promises that had been given to begin with. The promises of God are not to be used as crutches for us to lean on, but couches for us to rest on. We ought to be able to find rest in what God said He would do. In my way of thinking, the only reason Abraham could possibly raise his hand and begin to slay that boy, because he was resting in what God said He would do. I know God said sacrifice the boy, but God also said He's going to make a nation out of it, and millions and millions and millions and millions. If I slay him, God can raise him up again. I don't know what was going through his mind, but he was resting on the promise of God. Believe that with all my heart. The only thing that got him up the side of that hill was the promise of God. Amen. God reaffirms His promise in these scriptures when He said, in blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. Hallelujah. I'll run through these real quickly and try to get out before the kids do. The first promise that was reaffirmed to this old patriarch was the seed promise. Verse number 22. I ain't even in the right chapter. I just read it a minute ago and I lost it. Well, yeah. Verse number 17. 18. And in thy seed, thank you, brother, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, that'd have been a problem if Isaac had died, wouldn't it? That would nullify God's promise. I tell you, something else it'd do, it'd make God a liar, wouldn't it? Come on, yes or no? You can say yes. It would have made God a liar. But Isaac didn't die, did he? God supplied. And now the promise is more real,
yes, sir,
than ever.
Amen.
To him.
That's good preaching.
You know what I think probably went through Abraham's mind when that angel said, Abraham, Abraham? Lay not thine hand. Don't do this boy no harm. For now I know you fear God. And bah, he hears the ram. And I imagine old Abraham thought, he's really going to do it. He's really going to do it. He really is. Well, let me see them stars again. Let me feel them grains of sand running through my finger. I believe God's really going to do it.
Yes,
you see, he made that promise years and years and years and years and years and years ago. And when the angel came and told him again, when he's an old man, his wife was an old lady, his wife laughed. Why? Because they didn't believe the promise was possible. So God had to reaffirm the promise with a pregnancy. Now some more time has gone by and God has to reaffirm the promise with a test.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Imagine he left that day a little more excited about the promise.
Yes,
not only do we see it was the seed promise that was reaffirmed, but it was the same promise. God didn't change nothing. He said the same thing to him in 17 and 18 that he said way back yonder in years past in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 16 or 15. He said the same thing over and over and over again. What God had said to Abraham on previous occasions was just reemphasized. Yesterday's promise. Yesterday's promises became today's promises. The hopes of prior days became the hopes of the present day. What was foundational years ago is now functional. He reaffirmed the seed promise and the same promise, but also he reaffirmed a sure promise. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord in verse number 22. God made an oath to Abraham and he swore on his own name. Everything God promised Abraham must come to pass.
That's right, brother.
Don't forget that these promises were reaffirmed to a man of obedience.
Yes.
The only reason God did these things on Mount Moriah was simply because Abraham did what he said. No other reason. Not because he was a prayer warrior. Not because he was a great man of Scripture.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, because of your obedience.
Amen.
Because you obeyed my voice. Just because you did what I said do, I'm going to do what I said I'd do. Can it be that simple? Apparently so. Most powerful nation on the planet of this earth. No, it's not the U.S. of A. It's that little speck over there in the Middle East that all the fuss is over. Why ain't all the fuss over some great big part of the world? Like Canada or Australia. I'd rather have Australia than Israel. It's huge. It's a whole continent. And they fighting over that little speck about the size of the head of your pen.
Amen.
And they ain't got it, have they? Hallelujah. Anyway, we'll move on. It was a sure promise. He swore by himself. Now listen. There is not only the area that involves the right provision and reaffirm promises. But I want you to notice something else they experienced because of Abraham's obedience, and I'm done. They experienced the right provision. Ain't you glad when God gives just what you need? Have you ever heard, and I'm getting off here, but have you ever heard testimonies about somebody who needed an exact amount of money? Brother Shane called me one day and said, Brother Eddie, I just thought I'd give you some good news. He gives me enough bad. He said, I thought I'd give you some good news. We needed such and such and so, and it was going to cost this much. He said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, here it comes. He said, we went in the mailbox today and got a check. You remember that? It was for exactly what he needed. And it was exactly when he needed it. It was the right provision at the right time at the right place. Somebody give me a witness right there if you've experienced that. Don't you ever forget that. You remember that second mortgage, $255,000, we set fire to? Son, it was at the right place at the right time and was exactly what we need. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad God can supply the right provision. I'm glad He can reaffirm His promises. That's what keeps us going. You say, preacher, what keeps you coming again and again and again and again? It, because He said, I'll give you this one thing, and if I could lay it on anything else, this is it. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Amen. And you know what? I keep lifting Him up, and He keeps drawing. Oh, Al walked down that aisle right there on Sunday morning. Oh, Gomez Sanchez got down here in the altar and led him to Christ. Woo! Say amen right there, Brother Daniel. You can even say it in Spanish if you want to. Hallelujah. Reaffirm the promises. Walked out the door. They said, preacher, 9 got saved in junior church. Woo! I think I'll come back tonight. He just reaffirms His promises. Amen. Because He was obedient. There was the right provision. Do you need the right provision tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because of His obedience, there was a reaffirmed promise. And because of obedience, lastly, they experienced resurrection power. I said resurrection power. The experience on Mount Moriah was definitely an experience of death. You say, wait a minute, preacher, Isaac didn't die. No, but Abraham did. Isaac didn't die, but Abraham did. Abraham's will was completely diminished on Mount Moriah. Remember, God didn't really want Isaac. He just wanted more Abraham. But yet Abraham wasn't the loser, was he? He was the more blessed because of his obedience. Woo. You see, his dying to his own will and wants was the means of receiving Isaac again from the dead. You can look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 19 when you get home. You don't have to turn there now. But the Bible talks about this very thing and says that he received him again in type. When he drew that knife, his son was dead. But he got to bring him home again. When I saw the ambulance sitting in Friendship Church Road, no lights flashing, nobody in a hurry, DOA, dead on arrival, all I could think, in my heart, my son's dead. Well, ain't you glad God can allow you to walk in resurrection power?
Amen.
Can you imagine how quiet and somber it was on the way up the hill?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Do you figure there was much contrast between the way they went up and the way they come down? Whew! You think there's any difference, Brother Freddie, as they laboriously carried the wood and Abraham knew it in his heart what he was about to do? And brother, after what they seen and after what they experienced, I bet they come down that mountain 10 times faster than they went up. Amen. Bible said, so Abraham returned unto his young men. What a scene. Abraham and Isaac going back down that mountain in resurrection power. Be a good picture of walking in resurrection power. Then I can just hear Isaac running ahead of his daddy. Come on, daddy. Hurry up, Daddy. Come on. We got to get home and tell Mama. We got to go tell Mama what we just saw and what just happened. Hey, that's not just walking in resurrection power, but now it's witnessing in resurrection power. Then I see Abraham as they strolling down the hill. You know he is hugging on that boy. You know he was. You know there is sugar coming down that hill. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. First thing I did, my son come out of coma. I kissed that fella, son. I hugged that kid like I've, woo, hallelujah. Hey, I know there was walking in resurrection power. There was witnessing resurrection power. But Brother Charles, as he put his arm around me, can you imagine they looked at each other and said, man, can you believe that? Woo! Now they're living in the wonder of resurrection power.
Yeah.
Why? Because Abraham obeyed God. If we'll obey God, He'll do things in our lives that will absolutely blow us away.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm talking about make you stand back and say, far out, man.
Amen.
Huh?
I
believe they come down that hill walking in resurrection power. I believe they come down that hill ready to witness in resurrection power. I believe they come down that hill in wonder of the resurrection power. But I believe they come down that hill worshiping in resurrection power.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I bet they come down that hill singing about a lamb.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Hey, we ought to be able to worship in resurrection power because you and I, like Isaac, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, have God raised up together. Good glory to God. Somebody say amen. That trip down the mountain was an awesome life experience for those two. But it took the trip up. Had it not been for the trip up, they'd have never known the joy of the trip back down. Some of you getting happy because you've been up. And you've been able to walk back down. You've experienced the right provision. You've known the reaffirmed promises in your life. And you felt that resurrection power of the Holy Ghost swell up in your heart and made you say hallelujah and glory to His name. Why? Because you had the raised. Well, I got to quit here somewhere. We see the same thing in the life of Jonah. God told him what to do. There's the command. Jonah did the opposite. There's the disobedience. They cast lots, chunked him overboard in the middle of the storm. God, the Bible said, prepared a great fish. And it sucked up a backslid preacher. Why? Disobedience cost him. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell I cried. But in the belly of the fish. Somebody said, do you really believe that? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
With all my heart and soul.
Yeah.
Deep sea fishing with a bunch one time down off the coast of Destin, Florida, and the man looked around and told me we caught one of them big old grouper, or they call them a Jewfish. He said, you know why they call that a Jewfish? I said, why? He said, that's what swallowed Jonah. I said, ain't done it. He said, oh, yes, it is. I said, no, no, it ain't. A whale swallowed it. He said, the Bible don't say it's a whale. I said, yeah, it does. I said, Jesus Himself said it am a whale. So, Bubba, it was a whale. That's good enough for me. I've seen them. They big enough to suck up Rusty. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe it. But in that fish's belly, Jonah makes a decision that changes his life. In the belly of hell, here's what he said. I guess I probably ought to just do what he said. It's never hit you like that. I mean, you just literally feel like you're going through hell in your life. You're being pulled apart at both ends. And finally a light comes off. Bang! Maybe I'll just do what God said. That's what Jake told me. He said, he's standing in my driveway. He said, I ain't never been happy except when I was doing what God wanted me to do. I said, well, do it.
Amen.
Standing here blubbering in my driveway, getting busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure am glad he did.
Amen.
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 How much you want to wager Jonah come out of that fish different than he went in?
Yeah.
I bet he didn't even slow down to wipe off the whale puke. You know what they say, a backslidden preacher make a whale vomit. Amen. Spewed him up on the bank, he hit the ground running. Nineveh! Man, here comes a dude with a whale puke on him. Nineveh! Repent! What's got into that boy? He made up his mind he's going to obey God. You know what God said? Okay, I'm going to spare the city. Why? Because you did what I said I'd do. What I told you to do. Amen. Mary and Martha came to Jesus. Thought he was 3 days late. Or was it four? 4 days. Yeah, 4 days. You late. You late. Where you been? Show me where you laid him. Just show me where you laid him. Lazarus, come forth. In a mummified body, floated out of the ground. He didn't walk. Why? Because he was bound. Well, y'all looking at me goofy. Read your Bible. Lazarus came forth, and then the Lord said, loose him.
Yeah.
I don't believe he come out there like that. I believe he came out in resurrection power.
Yeah.
Just like I'm going to come out of this thing one of these days.
Yeah.
I ain't going to heaven like this, I guarantee you, bro. Amen. Kind of understand what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 2 when he said, our Lord Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And after 3 days he arose in resurrection power. And watch what he said. And now God also hath highly exalted him. Wow. You see, actually, as we die to self and yield to God, it's this resurrected Lord that manifests Himself in and through our lives in His own resurrection power. No wonder Paul cried in Philippians 3, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. You see, I think he understood to resurrect, you've got to die. In other words, we got to come to the very place where Jesus did in the garden when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It wasn't Jonah's will to go to Nineveh. He didn't like them people. He was prejudiced against them. By the way, if there's a sect of people you're prejudiced against, that may be who God sends you to.
Yeah.
I wish some of these white supremacist skint heads would get called to the mission field in Africa.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yes,
you mess with my black bus, youngin. Cut you wide and deep, amen. Brother Thomas will. I'll get him to do it. You'd expect it from him, amen. Does it pay to obey? Just to do what God said do. Well, preacher, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Let's start with the simple things. And we're done tonight. Just be faithful at church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some meet. Give a tenth of what God gives you back to the Lord. If He gives you 100, give Him 10. Gives you 200, give Him 20. Every now and then, just because you love Him, throw in a little extra. Read your Bible and pray. Be a witness if you can. What do you mean, preacher? That's what he said to do. That'd be a good place to start.
Amen.
Baby steps. Don't jump on a plane to Africa, live off monkey meat tomorrow just because preacher said do what God said do.
Amen.
Take baby steps.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. I promise you, I've known more of the blessings of God in my life for being obedient,
yes, sir,
than I have for being disobedient.
Right.
And while you stand to your feet tonight, let me just be honest with you and say this is real easy to preach tonight. This is something else to live. Because I'm still disobedient at times. You know what I got to do? I got to get it right. Get up and hit it again. Sister asked me tonight, she said, what do I need to do just to reaffirm my faith in the Lord? I said, well, sis, I tell you, be honest with you, first thing, just be get on the altar and get it right. She said, well, I believe I've done that. I said, get up and go. She said, well, I want to get baptized. I said, we can do that too. Amen. Get up and get it again. Let's stand to our feet tonight.